Jack Armstrong.
Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the fight for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Okay, you table tennis shark. Let's see you get this one. Doggone it, I missed it again. Hey, listen, Charlie, where'd you learn to play this game? You're beating a hide off me.
Say, you didn't expect a win from me, did you? Why, heck, I've been practicing my strokes all winter, and I've been keeping in training, too.
You mean you've been training to play table tennis? Oh, that's the funniest one I've heard all week. Jeepers, I'll bet you'd want to get in training before you shovel the snow off the front steps. Well, you're the trainingest guy I ever met.
Listen, I didn't get in training especially so I could play table tennis with you. I just naturally am in training, and, well, I think it helps me play a better game. You see, I've got a training program I follow all year round, and that way I'm always ready to play any game that comes along.
Yeah, but training is hard work.
Not the way I do it. Listen, Joe, did you ever hear of the three training rules of Jack Armstrong? They're a swell system to follow, and it's easy as anything.
You mean that training program they tell us about on the radio? Oh, those Jack Armstrong rules sound too doggone easy to me. They can't be much good.
Well, any training program that's okayed by athletes like Bob Feller and Gene Sarzen is good enough for me.
See, maybe a good training system would help me if I gave it a chance. What do you have to do, Charlie?
Well, it's just like Franklin McCormick tells us on the Jack Armstrong broadcast.
I'm sure that every fellow and girl will get real benefit from following the three training rules of Jack Armstrong. That's why I'm advising you to, first, get plenty of fresh air, sleep, and exercise. Second, use lots of soap and water every day. And third, eat a genuine athlete's training breakfast in the morning. Lots of those crunchy, toasted whole wheat flakes called Wheaties with plenty of milk and your favorite kind of fruit. Yes, sir, that's a breakfast of champions you should be eating regularly. It's brimming with keen flavor, the extra special Wheaties kind that makes you want to come back for more and more Wheaties. It's packed with real get-up-and-go nourishment to help you get a champion start for the day. I'm telling you, the sooner you get in training and eat Wheaties for breakfast, the more fun you're going to get out of life. Be sure to ask for some Wheaties right away, will you? That's swell. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Jack Armstrong is about to leave his horse escort and start on foot into the wild hill country, the Zamboanga Peninsula in Mindanao in the Philippines. With him are Billy, Betty, Uncle Jim, and the Filipino Michelle. Jack and the others are in search of an old Moro peddler whom they think knows something of the missing Professor Loring. They followed the main trail on horses loaned them by the army troops stationed at Pettit Barracks on the coast. But now they're leaving the main trail and starting off on foot along a rough, narrow trail that leads to the village of Molita. Right now, they're saying goodbye to Lieutenant Rawlings, who, with a squad of soldiers, will take the horses back to Pettit Barracks. Listen.
Listen to those horses neigh and whinny, Lieutenant Rawlings. I think they're glad they're not going any further into this wild country.
These horses always get restless up here in the hills, Jack. I think they smell the wild boars that roam around through the thick underbrush.
Jumping Jiminy, Lieutenant Rawlings. Don't tell me that there are wild boars in this country.
There certainly are, Billy. And they have long tusks. Don't ever dispute the right of way with one of them. They're mean customers.
I understand they attack horses sometimes, Rawlings.
That's right, Captain Fairfield. You have to keep an eye on that pack horse of yours.
You mean a wild boar will actually attack a horse?
He will if he gets a chance, Betty. Take that pack horse of yours. He's got a heavy pack strapped to each side of the saddle. Now, he could keep one wild boar away with his heels. But if two or three of them attacked him, he couldn't fight them off. And he couldn't run away very fast.
We'd better let Michelle and the pack horse go in front of us, Uncle Jim. Then we can keep an eye on the horse.
We'll do that, Jack. And I'll keep my hunting rifle ready for action.
Are there any other wild animals that are dangerous, Lieutenant Rawlings?
There's just one other wild animal you'll have to be careful of. That's a tamaro.
Oh, I've heard of them. They're like rather small buffaloes.
Yes, but there's nothing small about their horns. They're wild and dangerous, and they'll charge you without warning.
Holy smoke. In the jungle swamps, it's crocodiles, and up here, it's wild animals with horns. Not to speak of the natives.
Well, you'll find the natives safe enough, Billy, if you don't antagonize them, and if they haven't started their uprising yet.
Well, Rawlings, we'll try not to antagonize them, but we're going to find that old Moro peddler.
And don't forget that you're going to keep an eye open for any sign of gun smuggling in the interior. They won't suspect you of being interested in that. All the hill tribes know me by this time.
You bet we will, Lieutenant Rawlings.
It looks as though this Morrow peddler's mixed up in that, too, as well as with the disappearance of Professor Loring.
Well, except for one thing, I guess you're all set to start off. You've got your equipment on the pack horse, and you've got that pedometer I gave you on your belt, haven't you, Jack?
I'll say I have. See it? I've set it at zero, and from this moment on, I'll know exactly how far I've walked.
You certainly will. If you use that pedometer with that map I gave your Uncle Jim, you won't get lost.
You said that we were all set to start off except for one thing, Rawlings. What is that one thing?
That's a little surprise I have for you from Colonel Brewster.
Clark, bring those walkie-talkies here.
Chump on Jupiter, what on earth is a walkie-talkie?
A walkie-talkie is the Army slang name for a little portable radio set we use. It only weighs a few pounds. You strap it on your back.
You mean you can actually talk to someone at a distance with a set as small as that?
You certainly can. You can talk from 10 to 15 miles, depending on atmospheric conditions. Here, Clark's bringing them now. See how light and portable they are?
It's mighty kind of you, Lieutenant. Those sets ought to prove mighty useful.
I hope they will. Clark, give one set to Jack and the other to Billy. Now, sling them over your back and buckle those straps in front. Here. That's the way you do it.
This is a mighty light radio set. I'd hardly know what's on me.
They look like toys, don't they? Oh, I just love the name, walkie-talkie.
The soldiers gave them that name. They walk with them, they talk with them, so there you are. They're run by batteries, of course. And there's no tuning dial since they broadcast on just one wavelength.
Well, where's the microphone, Lieutenant Rawlings?
The mic's in that canvas pocket on the right side. Pull it out, pants away. And that little steel telescopic rod extends upward as an antenna when you want to use it.
Let's try them out, Jack, just to make sure they're all right. Okay, Billy. Pull the antenna rod out. Now, I'll speak into this little mic. Hello, Billy.
Oh, nothing happened.
Hey, you both forgot to turn on the switch.
Oh, gosh.
Reach back. It's at the bottom of the pack.
Here it is. Turn your switch on, Billy. Now we'll see how it works. Hello, Billy.
Jumping Jimmy. It scared the daylights out of me, Jack. The voice is coming from my undershirt. I'll try mine now.
Can you get this, Jack?
I'll say I got it. Say, this is marvelous. If we have to be separated and get into any trouble, we can yell to each other about it.
And here's an extra set of batteries. See, they're quite small.
I'll take those, Rawlings. It was very kind of Colonel Brewster to think of lending us these little radio sets.
Colonel Brewster thinks that you may bring back some very important information for him, Captain Fairfield. That's why I want you to have everything he can spare. If someone is really smuggling rifles to the Hill Tribes, you'll be able to get information better than any of us. They won't suspect you. They'll think you're just after some news of the missing Professor Loring.
Well, that's my real mission, Rawlings, but you can trust us to keep our eyes open. This little trail goes directly to the village of Melita, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, but there are several forks. Now, the first fork is a mile and a half from here. Take the left-hand trail there. Now, keep to the left for 2 miles more. At that point, bear right.
You'll have to keep track of these distances with your pedometer, Jack.
I'll watch it closely, Uncle Jim.
Now, the natives of Melita won't be friendly to you, but I don't think they'll give you any real trouble. Well, now, I'll take my horses and men back to Pettit Barracks. Goodbye, and good luck to you.
Goodbye, Lieutenant Rawlings.
Come on, men. Back we go. Steady there, Blackstar. Hello, Mom. There we are. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, here we are, alone on the Zamboanga Peninsula of Mindanao.
Hardly alone, Billy. There are many thousands of natives scattered through these hills. Moros, Visayans, Manobos.
And some of them are pretty fierce, too, Billy.
Oh, but they can't be as fierce as the Moros around Cotabango, Jack.
Some of them are, Betty. The tribes around Lake Lanao are the fiercest tribes in the islands. But let's get going. Michelle, you lead the pack horse in front of us. If any wild boars try to attack him, I'll take care of them with my hunting rifle.
Me lead pack horse, Captain Fairfield. But if you shoot, you make sure you hit wild boar. You no hit me.
Oh, you don't have to worry about Uncle Jim's marksmanship, Michelle. He can drill a dime at 50 yards.
Me not worry. Me just careful, that all. Come on, horse. We go.
Look at the horse paw the ground. I don't believe he wants to go, Uncle Jim.
He's going just the same, Betty. We can't carry tents and cooking equipment and supplies on our backs.
Oh, look at our mirror up. Those packs will slide off his back,
now,
Uncle Jim.
They're cinched up pretty tightly, Billy. Here, Michelle. I'll lend you a hand with him. Hey, steady there, Seabiscuit.
That good, Senor Jack. You know how I handle horses. You go now. Me lead him.
Good work, Jack. Now, let's get going. We've got quite a hike ahead of us.
This isn't much of a trail, Uncle Jim. Kind of hard to follow it along the trees of this hillside.
It's a lot better than no trail at all, Billy. We may find ourselves going across country with nothing to guide us but a compass and Jack's pedometer.
It's climbing uphill, isn't it, Uncle Jim?
That's right, Betty. According to this map I have, it's not much of a map. We climb this ridge ahead of us, then we drop down into a valley and cross a stream, Then go up that distant ridge you see to the east.
And then we drop down to the village of Melita, Betty.
Yeah, and then if the wild boars and tamaros don't get us, we find the old Moro peddler who sold Professor Loring's watch to that man in Zamboanga.
Uncle Jim, if that Moro peddler does have anything to do with stirring up these tribes against the government...
What do you mean, if he has anything to do with it, Betty? We know darn tootin' that he has got something to do with it.
No, we don't, Billy. We just think that he may be stirring the tribes up.
But, Uncle Jim, we know that Yates is smuggling in rifles to them, and Yates is tied up with that spice dealer in Zamboanga, and that spice dealer got the watch from the Moro peddler.
You'd never convict the Moro peddler on those grounds, Billy. Most of that's hearsay and guesswork.
But there's one thing we do know for sure. We know that the peddler must know something about Professor Loring.
Well, at least we know that he somehow got hold of Professor Loring's watch.
Look at the pack horse ahead, Uncle Jimmy. Stop, he won't go any further.
Oh, look at his ears go back, and look at him sniffing the air.
I'll bet he sees something or smells something in the bushes. Well, watch Michelle, Jack. He's looking at something in the bushes. He sees something.
Maybe he sees a wild boar or a tamaro.
Stand to one side, Betty. I'll get this rifle ready, just in case we need it.
Look at the horse. He's rearing up again.
Look out, he's broken loose. He's galloping this way.
He's running away. He's running toward us.
Whoa, there, boy. Watch him. Don't let him run over you.
I'll try to grab the rein, Uncle Jim. There, I've got him.
He's dragging Jack along the trail.
Hold on to him, Jack. Oh, attaboy, you're stopping him. He's slowing down.
Oh, look at him. He stopped. Jack stopped him.
I've got him. He won't get away.
Oh, look how that horse quiets down when Jack speaks to him. It beats me how he does it. Why, he's actually coming back. Jack is leading him back.
He's quieted down, Uncle Jim. Hey there, Michelle. What started him off that way?
He smell wild boar. Me saw wild boar in bushes.
A boar? A wild boar? Is he still there, Michelle?
No. He gone now. Me take order, Senor Jack. He all right now.
Okay, Michelle. But next time, you hang on to that rein. I don't want to be dragged along like that again.
That was magnificent, Jack. If you hadn't stopped him, we'd have lost our packs.
Say, Jack, what are you looking at? Look, Uncle Jim. Look up on top of that ridge ahead. Just where I'm pointing. Don't you see something flashing in the sun?
Where, Jack? Wait a minute. There is something flashing there. It's gone now. No, it's back again.
Jumping Jiminy, you don't suppose...
I'll take a look through the binoculars. Let's see now. It was just to the right of that distant tree. There, I'm on the spot. Yes, by Jove, there is something there.
But what is it, Uncle Jim? What is it?
It's a man, Betty. Maybe a Moro. He's signaling something to the valley beyond. He's signaling by waving his barong about. That's where the flashes of sunlight come from.
But what do you suppose it means, Uncle Jim?
It means that this trail is being watched, Billy. It means that when we arrive at the village, they'll be expecting us. But there's nothing we can do about it except be doubly on our guard. So, let's get started.
That's mighty queer, that the natives should have a lookout posted to watch that trail. What do you suppose it means? But there's one thing certain. There's something very odd going on in that village, or they would never have a sentry posted. There's excitement of some sort ahead, you can bet on that. So be sure to listen in, all of you, at the same time tomorrow for another exciting episode of the Zamboanga Adventure with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, there's a world's champion breakfast waiting for you every morning this week if you'll get some Wheaties in a hurry. Eat those toasted Wheaties flakes with lots of milk and fruit, and you're having a genuine breakfast of champions. Be sure to get those Wheaties now.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how.